You go to Hannibal, but I'm deliverance, so amazing. Thank God. For everybody here this afternoon. It's wonderful to come together again. I have as a young man like this, Pastor Glory, who happens to be one of our members, and his wife, a member of our parish here, just passed on to Nigeria. And we would like to know about that. You know, in Africa, people don't grow old. If you are 60 and you die, people will say you die young. Of course, we always lay claim on the promise of God to live to be 90, to be 100. You know? And we thank God, but this young man died at just 3 days short of his 57th birthday. And there was a young man that loved the Lord, and so it shook the people a little bit. When there is a physical departure like that, of course, emotionally people feel it. And that is the time you feel, you know, another side of being a pastor. You know, one side is when you stand like this to talk. Another side is caring, and that one is God's grace. I thank God that He has always been there for us. So I will commend your prayer for the family, for the church. The Lord bless you. Amen. I just pray, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to share your word again together. I ask, oh God, that you minister your grace and your wisdom. Lord, I want you to use my thumb and the pen of the regular time. I want you to declare your counsel and not my opinion. Lord, that even through this word, will inspire us, give us understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. The book of Matthew 16:18-19. I know it's in the notes, so you can follow on in the notes that is being presented to us. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. The theme we are really trying to explore is it's time to reign again. The word alone implies that we were ready before. And then maybe along the line, we stop ready. When you say it is time to reign again, it means you must have been doing it before. So we got a point that we're not more doing it. And we need to remind ourselves who we are and why actually we were ready in the first place. So what happened along the line that we're not ready anymore? We need to really remind ourselves and give ourselves awareness that we need to wake up from our slumbering and start reading again. It implies that, you know, as children of God, we were created to rule, to be in charge, to dominate. Bible said when he created man, he actually said he made them male and female, and the purpose is that they will have dominion over everything. That implies reigning. But when you're talking about reigning, it means you have rule over something. You have a domain upon which you rule, upon which you reign. And then the sovereignty of a kingdom, you know, is that which you don't trade with another. When we talk about kingdom, it's different, it's very deep. But I have only a short moment of 30 minutes to talk. And this is not something that I will talk even for 2 days. Because when you are mentioning the issue of kingdom, it is very deep. It's not a small thing. You see, for example, the president of America, we call him the most powerful man in the world. That's what we say. But his reign can only be lasted for 8 years. That's the longest he can do. If he reigned for 4 and they elected him, he will do another 4. After that 8, he must leave, whether he likes it or not. The reason is because he was appointed, he was voted into. But kingdom is different. When you are a royal family in a kingdom, you are born into it. It is your inherent right. Nobody votes you in. Nobody can vote you out. So kingdom is different from, you know, when we're talking about country, you're talking about nation. A kingdom is different from that. A kingdom is a right. It's that which is given. And in our, you know, many of us probably come from Africa, and you know in Africa we always have this kingship, monarchy, a monarch or something like that. And you have in a monarch, you say, okay, in this particular city, there are 3 royal, you know, family. You know, whenever anybody, the reigning king died, and they will go to the next royal family to pick a candidate. All they will say is that pick a candidate, it's now your turn. And that person come automatically and become the king. At the moment he became the king, everybody must bow. And he has the domain over his own environment. That which belonged to him, he has sovereignty over that. And that is the blessing and the beauty of a kingdom. As children of the kingdom, we have lost that concept of our calling. And that concept of our calling is to reign. And the reason for this inability to reign was due to our ignorance and lack of knowledge of the Word of God concerning the redemptive power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we were created to reign. But somehow, somewhere along the line, we lost it. So, you know, we have the whole story in the scripture of how our forefathers lost this, you know, in the garden. And they gave their right to the devil. And the serpent came, deceived the woman, and we know the story. Jesus re-established that kingdom is coming back. Chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, by simply giving them, you know, a cloak of skin, which means something must have died in order for him to present them with a garment of skin. And these people only put a garment of leaves together. So by ourselves, by our strength, by our knowledge, we really can go far. But when we connect ourselves through Jesus Christ, then there is no limit to how far we can go. Now, I link this to a statement made by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, verse 5 to 7. He actually calls it an error when the servant is riding on a horse and the prince is walking on the ground like a servant. He call it evil on earth. He call it a great error. So by the human understanding, it is expected that the prince will be riding on a horse and servant running after him. But when you see a situation where the servant is the one riding, and then the prince is running after, that spell out some evil. And when we look at it seriously, we Christians, we are that prince that are no more riding on horses. We've given our rights to the people who does not know God. Jesus. They are the ones that rule over us. And we run after them. I find it so amazing sometimes when you see, you know, an unbeliever in the kingdom. He is the president. He is the mayor. He is the governor. And then the Christian ministers, pastors, bishops, lining up to see them, to connect to them. And they sometimes take picture and they feel big. I'm taking picture with the governor. I feel embarrassed. It is a detection to me. For goodness sake, what do you think you're getting by taking picture with somebody who should be taking picture with you? That's the way it's supposed to be. And many people even have lost it.
Yes.
To the point that now when you begin to deal with those people, we compromise the faith. We compromise our calling because they are the ones giving us money. And they give us a bundle of money and then we shut our mouth. The truth can no more be told because these are people in government and we need to do it the way they like. We are the prince that has become a servant. And that is exactly what has happened to Christians. That's exactly what Solomon was saying in that book of Ecclesiastes. When you're talking about losing one's right, it is so amazing. It is detestable for the prince to be walking while the servant is now riding on the horse. And mind you, in my language, there is one proverb that says, a cock, that cock, has something on his head. It looks like fire. And the cock used to scare all foxes. Because when the fox looks at the cock, he thinks he carry fire. But one day, the cock called the fox and said, what you are looking at is not the fire. It's a meat. It just looks like fire. And that was how cock became a meat.
Yes.
The foxes. That's exactly what happened to us as Christians. When we compromise our calling, when we're looking for recognition where there is no recognition, when we're looking for honor where there is no honor, when you stand in your calling, honor will look after you. It will run after you. You don't need looking for connection anywhere. The greatest connection maker is our God. That's the God we serve. When God establishes you, people will want to connect with you.
Yes.
You're not the one running after them. The president will be calling you and say, Bishop So-so-so, Pastor So-so-so, can you come? You know, I would like to meet with you. That's what it is. Then, for example, in our country now, especially in Nigeria, using Nigeria as an example, Pastor Adeboye is in that country. I don't think he need to line up before anybody. The president will, if they hear Pastor Adeboye is coming, they will go and meet him by the door. It is because God has established him. And so, King now look for him. All those people look for him because they know he has the word of the King. He's a prince. And so we are. And every situation that confronts our life cannot prevail if we know our position. So it is time to reign again.
Amen.
Book of Psalm 82 from verse 5 says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness because they've lost concept of who they are. They're looking for what was not lost. So he said they have lost it. And then that verse 6 of that same psalm says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. You're not ordinary. You're not a wishy-washy somebody. You're not a riffraff. You are important. You are high. You are great. You are magnificent. In the book of, mostly the book of Joshua, you know, Joshua actually told the people of the generation of Caleb, he said, you are not a small people. You are a great people and you have great inheritance. We're not small. We're not small. Honestly, we're not ordinary. Irrespective of how you were born, how you were brought up, what is your background, it makes no difference. The moment you connect with Jesus Christ, you are children of God. And when you are a children of the King, hey, every right that belongs to the King belongs to prince and to the princess. Please, it does not matter how small, you know, that thing may be in the country or in that village where you are a king. If it is the last breath there, it will come to the King. That's it. It is only the servant who will not eat where the king must always lead. That's the position God has given us. Jesus himself now confirmed it in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. He said, is it not written in your law, I said you are God? And if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and as we know, the scripture cannot be broken. See, these are things that we need to always, you know, emphasize and impress on the heart of you. If you are serving God, it does not mean that you're serving God that you won't have situations or challenges. But each time challenges come, just remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And once you remember that, it solves the whole problem. Because one thing God will never do is to lie. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, is it impossible for God to lie? It didn't say God may not lie. He said it is impossible. It is totally impossible. And that is why you need to stand on what he says. It shows clearly that whosoever that is born of God through the word and the spirit are children of God. That's what the book of John chapter 1 verse 12 said to us, as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God, chapter 3 from verse 5, it talks that, you know, that if you have the spirit of God and you are born again, he said you cannot enter. If you have not received that born again spirit, you can't see. The first thing, the second thing, you cannot enter. I always love those words. As Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was talking as a human being, Jesus was talking the very realm that he doesn't understand. He said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless, except a man is born again, he cannot see. That is the problem today. Many of us are born again. We see. But you see, the second part of it is a very tough one. The second part, he said, unless a man is born of the spirit and of the word, he cannot enter. So there is the seeing, there is the entrance. And so if you can see, then you should be able to enter. But don't forget, yes, sir. But don't forget that this is a door. I can see beyond that door. I know that door leads to exit. If I want to go out, then I must have a key. If I don't have a key, I'm locked in. I can see, but that does not imply entrance. Yes. To enter now, you must have a key. Yes. You must have a key. And the key is to be born of the Spirit. So that means when the Holy Spirit takes you over, you are no more an ordinary person. I love the way John described it. John said, this I'm saying unto you. He said, the wind blows, and you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. He said, so are everyone that is born of the Spirit. That word is huge. Everyone that is born of the Spirit is a mystery. You cannot be calculated. You cannot be figured out because you are of the Spirit. It is not physical. It is spiritual. And so when we gather together like this to pray, many people just see it as an exercise of the physical. It is not a physical exercise to pray. It is a spiritual exercise. Because as we are praying, we are not in the realm of the flesh. Amen. We are in the realm of the Spirit. That's why he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Looking at it from very human understanding, everything that is of the heaven dominates that which is of the earth. Spirit dominates the flesh, or the unseen dominates the seen. That's what it is. So how come he said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven? And the whole idea is because as you stand in your position as a child of God, people look at you, you are standing here. But as a matter of fact, you are up there. Amen. So the operation is not in the flesh. Amen. It's in the spirit. So as you are buried there, you are in the heavenly places doing all the burning. and it must be established there. And it becomes effective here. That's the essence of our prayer. If that is not part of our prayer, then we'll be wasting our time. We'll just be making noise.
That's it, sir.
We'll just be making noise. Yeah. See, that this is what encourages our faith. You know, as you're praying, you're not just talking. You know you are ministering something. You know you're connecting to something. You know God is in your prayer. You are in God. You're speaking with Him. And you are controlling the power that holds the atmosphere. And they obey you. You wonder, how does it happen? It happens because you're not a physical. You are a spiritual being. And because you're a spiritual being, because of your birth, you're born again and you are in Christ. And therefore, whatever you decree is established in the heavens. And the demon cannot even stop it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so, it is very important that, I can't go, you know, I said to you earlier that if we're going over this, it will take days. But let me just say to you, number one, in order for you to reign again, to start reigning again, it is necessary for us to get a clear understanding of what it means. Number one, you need to know your identity. You're not an ordinary person. You're not a retract. You're not a wishy-washy. You are a child of God. And the prince is also a king. A prince is a king in the making, isn't it?
Yes.
And so one day, a prince will become the king. And that is why a prince already knows the act of reigning. He already knows it. That's what I love it. You know, when you watch those evil movies, they always use this thing. A lady prince or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they will install one of the son of the king, and they will start calling him. You know, he will be putting on
apparent
hair. He'll be putting on some special hat that everybody know this is the one. Of,
yeah.
This is the one. And when he passes on the street, everybody bow. He's not a king yet. So when you know who you are, then you know how to carry yourself. And then you know how to actually address those things that are supposed to work under you. Number two, you must know your source. A prince or a king have a source. The source of who they are is the power they carry that wedges around them. And our source is not physical. Our source is Christ. The book of Romans said, it is the spirit that witnesses to our spirit, said, whereby we call Abba, Father. Our source is in the Father. It's not in us. But He is a source that never fails. The meaning of Father is a source. And when we are referring to God as being the source, it's a source that never runs dry. Each time you tap into it, it's always there. Something is always available in that source. Praise the Lord. And number three, you must know your place. You must know your place. What is your place? Bible said in that book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we have been exalted. He said, Christ has lifted us up, and we are now sitting in Him in the heavenly places. Even though we are here physically, but we are actually sitting in Christ in the heavenly places. Far above principalities and power. And all dominion has been put under His footstool. Therefore, all dominions are under our footstool. So if we are in Him, everything that is under His footstool is under our footstool.
Amen.
Isn't it? That's the reason why we stand and we command the devil and they obey. Otherwise, you don't have the God to do that. That's our place. That's our place. Then you must know your inheritance. The book of Romans talks about our inheritance. It said we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So it's not about your big many things, not about who knows you or who you know. It is about your right in Him. And because you're a child of God, you have a right. The book of Romans says, if we are sons, then we are heirs. Full stop. We are heirs, comma. We're first of all heirs. A son that is born into a family have the right of inheritance in that family. We are heirs. And he didn't stop there. He said, but we are also joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ can do, you can do it.
Amen.
If Christ can stop the enemy, you can stop the enemy. Amen. If Christ can stop witchcraft, you can stop witchcraft.
Amen.
If Christ can make all the forces of this darkness to bow, you also can do that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is our inheritance. This is inheritance. I love the word inheritance because inheritance is not how strong you are. Inheritance is a direct right that is passed down to you. You don't have to merit it. Since you are born in that family, it is your right. Inherent right. And Christ died in order to pass it down. Because if the original that owned the property didn't die, you can't inherit him. And so Christ had to die in order to give us the right of inheritance. Now he rose up again and in order to strengthen and to empower us. So we have the right of inheritance. So each time you stand in prayer, you must know who you are.
Amen.
You're not just standing as an ordinary person. You don't look at yourself as people look at you. It's not about the money. It's not about the riches. It's not about even your educational background. It's about your rights in the kingdom.
Amen.
The rights in the kingdom have nothing to do with all those ephemeral things of this world. It's have everything to do with God himself decided. And God does not look at the money. He doesn't look at influence. He doesn't look at which connection you have. All he's looking at is my son. Is my daughter. And as a son and daughter, you have a right of inheritance.
Amen.
So we have a right to call the name of the Lord. Now whosoever called the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we just say thank you. Because you're just giving us a reminder that we need to start reigning again. And we're losing it. Because so many times we allow clamor of all the things of this world that are ephemeral to shut our mind off from our real inheritance. And so we become so heavy laden that we forget who we are. And so a son is now, who happens to be a prince, is now running errand for servant. But I pray today that you will give power to this world, even in the heart of everyone. We will not be able, oh God, even to be free of this world. It will continue to be hammered in our heart until we are connected to it, until we begin to live it, until we begin to walk in it. It will cause a change in our prayer life. And when we pray as the one who has a right. We're not praying as a slave, because we're not a slave. We are born of the blood, the water, and the spirit. He died in order to give birth to us. We say thank you for all that you have done and the inheritance you've passed down to us. So as we continue in this conference, you will continue to enlighten us. Give us more understanding to know the purpose of our calling in the first place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.